Good evening to all of you. We bless the name of the Lord for his mercies and grace. Let us pray. Our dear Father, we thank you because you're faithful. Thank you for your power, your might, your grace, your wisdom. Thank you because you sustain all things by the word of your power. Tonight, speak to us in a way that we will understand. Stay passion. Stay a burden, stay a vision, stay a new purpose that drives us to intercession consistently in the name of Jesus. Don't just give us a passion, give us a revelation. Don't just give us a revelation, give us the ability to do in the name of Jesus. We rely on you tonight that your mercy will be made available in Jesus' name. Amen. The burden tonight is to look into intercession. I pray that only God in mercy will explain this. Thank you all for what you are doing, Brother Victor, if I'm correct, and the rest of our friends at Adeyemi College of Education. The Lord himself will strengthen all of you, and we pray for success. And we've been told that you've been praying in that land. The Lord himself will sustain all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's just go. I love this particular definition of, you see, prayer has been misunderstood and intercession has been misunderstood. And luckily enough, we are starting a staff conference, a missionary staff conference that centers on prayer. So maybe you are going to be having the first taste, as it were, of some of the things that the Lord has been sharing. Let's just begin from here. Intercession is a type of prayer. Intercession is a type of prayer. And intercession is not personal prayer. You cannot intercede for yourself. You can make a request for yourself. There's the prayer of request. There's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of supplication. Those are the prayers that relate to you. Intercession? No, you can't intercede for yourself. Many are praying for themselves while they are interceding. Or let me put it this way. Many are interceding and they are interceding for themselves. For example, you cannot intercede for anything at all. Maybe you wrote an exam, say, I will go into intercession. No. When you talk about intercession, it connotes another person, another cause that is outside you. The topic that I'm told to speak on, call to intercede, the Christian's utmost responsibility. Now, let's reshape it a little bit. Are you with me now? We want to reshape it a little bit. The Christian's utmost responsibility is not to intercede. Please pay attention. The Christian's utmost responsibility is not to intercede. I will share with you where the responsibility of intercession comes in. The Christian's utmost responsibility is to become like Jesus. Please take note. There are many intercessors with wrong lives. Your utmost responsibility is to be like Jesus. And there are two things Jesus represents. Jesus Christ told us that he is the light of the world. Are you following me? And he is the savior of the world. He is the light and he came to save the world. They are similar but not very, very the same. Now, understand this. To the world, is a savior. To the world, he is a light. To the Christian, he is the high priest. Understand what Jesus is to the Christian and to the world. We are going into intercession. We need to understand, Jesus does not intercede for the world. Listen, you see, that's what you must understand, your utmost responsibility. Jesus does not intercede for the world. He intercedes for the Christian. You need to understand it. Now, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Let me balance one or two statements there. Jesus represents something to the world and to the Christian. That's what I wanted to say. He is a representation to the world and to the Christian. Now, understand this. To the world, he is the lamb. To the Christian, he is the lion. Now, take note. The Christian. Do you understand? The Christian. I'm not saying that to a church go out. He has to take you from the lamb. You see, as a lamb, you come into him. It's by the being slain that he invites you in to himself. When he invites you in, the dimension of your experience in him becomes the lion. And the lion connotes ruler. One who influences, one who enforces, one who is in charge of a government. Are you following me now? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He is a lamb to the world, but a lion to the Christian. Now take note of this. Take note of this. He will introduce you into himself as the lamb, because that's how he was slain on the cross. When he introduces you into himself as the lamb, he doesn't continue to offer his blood for you, but he intercedes for you, because intercession has to do with government. Please listen to this. This is very, very important. Intercession deals with government. Let me bring it clear. Look at this definition of intercession. I found this from a dictionary meaning, and it's very, very good. Very, very good. I trust that Baba will help us tonight. Now, that this definition here, I love it. I love that. You said, I got it from a dictionary meaning. Intercession is the act of using your influence to make someone in authority forgive someone else or save them from punishment. That's intercession. You see, intercession deals with government. It's using your influence. Holy Spirit, help me now. Sorry, please. All right. I'm sorry, friends. I had to take a very important call. Okay. So, the definition we are seeing there is using your influence. Now, take note, this is the practical. Now, I'm going to go into scriptures now to show you intercessors and then to show you intercession in the Old Testament, their limitation, the New Testament, and the very reason why we must intercede. That's the goal. And bro, Victor, please help me with my time. When am I supposed to stop? It's very important for me now. So the act of using your influence, take note, you don't talk of influence until you have authority. You don't talk of influence. You can't influence someone or anything if you are not in a position of authority. So influence to make, now, you are using your influence to make someone that is in authority to forgive. So to talk to someone in authority, you must either be closer to that authority or you must be in the cabinet of that authority. You must have a level of influence to that authority in order to make that authority to forgive someone or to save them from punishment. That is the most basic meaning of intercession. Many people are praying, or better put, many people are interceding without understanding intercession. So a lot of intercession is a waste. It's just noise. Listen, God operates. That's what the Bible says, that wisdom is the principal thing, and in all thy gettings, get understanding. Whatever will be outstanding is understanding that makes it so. So if you don't have understanding, proper understanding of what you are doing, it will be futile effort. You can spend 9 hours praying, and God says, no, my people perish for lack of knowledge. There's nothing that substitutes for knowledge, wisdom, understanding in all spiritual endeavor. Nothing substitutes for it. You don't have it, you don't have it. You have it, you get the result. Are you following this? So that's why we are pursuing, you know, an understanding. We are pursuing a proper understanding. Now take note of this. So your intercession deals with government. Intercession deals with influence. Intercession deals with a judgment coming on a people, you know, a decision coming on a people. There's something dangerous. That's the word I'm looking for. There's something that is about to happen in the negative. So to avert it, somebody must intercede. Esther was one. Now let's just run through the scriptures my brother put up. Now there is this understanding that we must maintain. Look at concerning, I think Isaiah chapter 61. Yes, let me go through it quickly. Isaiah 62, I wanted to say. He says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, you see an intercessor speaking, Zion's sake, Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. You can almost feel the passion of this, of Isaiah here. Zion today will represent the church. Jerusalem today will represent the church. So he said, for their sake, it's not for my sake. Now, I am saying this because I occupy a place in God as a prophet. Isaiah is saying, I'm a prophet, I'm a mouthspeak, I'm a mouthpiece of the Lord for the land. I'm a watchman. I've been given the rightful place in the authority cabinet of God. I have access to God. So I've seen a need that Zion is sleeping. I've seen a need that Jerusalem is in a mess. Now I understand it, even though others are blind. I have discovered that righteousness is lost. I have discovered that salvation is absent. So I will not rest until righteousness thereof go forth. Now, look at an intercessor as an object of intercession. You don't go before an authority and say, why did you come? Say, I just came. On what? I just came to beg concerning them. For what? You understand? Every intercessory labor has a focus. You see, let's be careful where we say, let's be careful. I don't want to run ahead of myself now. Let's be careful how we labor in intercession. Please take note of this. This is very, 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 very important. You need to understand that, Holy Spirit, stick to the Bible. Let me put that in. Every intercessor that will not study well the word, we cannot intercede. Forget it. You cannot. You will pray, but you will not intercede. You see that? You will pray, but you will not intercede. Because to intercede is to intervene. Is to stop something. Is to prevent something. Is to subdue something. Is to rearrange something. Is to reorder something that was meant for punishment, for danger, for judgment. That's intercession. So let's go on a little bit. Now, Jesus died for the world, and that's all he did. He preached when he was here. He died and he finished. And the only thing he said in John 3 is, he that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already. Go and look at John chapter 3. I won't pray for him. He's condemned already. Please take note. We are moving gradually. Are you following me? He's condemned already. So to the world, there's no prayer. There's no intercession for the world. There is only the gospel. Now, don't first ask the forward question. Don't ask further questions. So we are going gradually to understand this. So for the world, that when I say for the world, people who are sinful, is the gospel. That's why he said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. Go and witness. Now, and that's even a stronger word, because to be a witness is beyond preaching. Is to match your life with your words, so that what you say, they see in your life. That's a witness. To be a witness is to bear a record to a testimony. I was there. I experienced it. So those who have not experienced the gospel cannot preach the gospel. So that is for the world. He who is struggling with sin, pornography or something like that, and whatever, that one cannot even pray. Cannot intercede. Because when you say pray is general. There is the prayer of request. There's the, you know. So let's know the aspect of prayer we are dealing with. And here we are dealing with intercession. Okay. Now, when it comes to groaning the spirit and all of that, those are things we'll touch. I don't think time will be there. Groaning the spirit, praying in the spirit, as it's praying in other tongues and all of that. Those are, because it must be understood. It's not everything we just open our mouth, ragata. No. We will, from the scriptures, you see, you need to understand the scriptures. Now, I give an example that you must please understand this. To the world, no intercession. It's only the gospel. Okay? Now, to the Christian, Jesus intercedes. Holy Spirit helps. Now, the Bible talked about, for we know not how to pray, but the Holy Spirit help our infirmities. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Let's go to the King James. Now, you see above Romans 8:26. I'm trying to rush now because of my time. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself make intercessions for us. That's King James language. Intercession continues for the believer, not for the world. Now, we will tell you, now the point is, if Jesus Christ has finished everything, why are they making intercession for the believer? That's the issue now. Now, look at BBE, you know, you look at every translation there. He prays according to the will of God, the Bible says. Say, for we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He said, that now, this is the part I love. Look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now take note. The Holy Spirit intercedes for the saint, not for the world. Jesus intercedes for the saint. Let me confirm. We are just looking at scriptures. Intercession deals with government. Now, take note that the Bible says the government has been put upon Christ, because in Isaiah chapter 9, it said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then in Philippians chapter 2, he has been given a name that is above every other name, that is government. So when he went to the right hand of the Father at the throne, he went there as, now take note of this, as a lamb, he redeemed us to God. As a lion, he became the ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Because when you talk about lion, you talk about kingship, you talk about rulership, you talk about dominion, you talk about strength, you talk about power. So you see, he is the lion, he is the lamb. There is that which he is as a lamb, there is that which he is as a lion. And as a lion, one of his work is intercession. As a lamb, his work is redemption, restitution, restoration, the bringing back of all things. But as a lion, and he's there, the representation is that the Christian that I'm standing for today has been redeemed. That's it. You see, why he's still there as a lamb is that he's bringing to understanding that this man that I am interceding for, I have brought him in through my blood. And now I have become his king. I have become his ruler. He has taken me as his. That's why we say, I accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's lamb and lion. As a Savior, the lamb. As your Lord, the lion. The ruler, the king. Now, as the lion, the king, he intercedes because he's in government. He's in charge. Now, why is he interceding? Let's first observe. Now, in Hebrews 7:25, say, wherefore, that's Jesus. Go and read Hebrews chapter 7. He said, he's able to save. This is when you want to understand what intercession of Jesus is doing to the saints. Yeah, what's the danger there? Some people say, once saved, forever saved. This is where I will show you what keeps you saved. It's Hebrews 7:25. You are not saved just by, oh, the blood of Jesus Christ has settled my case, I'm forever saved. Excuse me. He is keeping that salvation for you by continuous intercession. This is in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore is able to save to the uttermost. You see, that's where people say forever saved, to the uttermost. But you don't know that there's something that keeps your salvation intact. What is that? He's able to save to the uttermost. Then he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make. You see that? He's been in heaven, he's intercessory. That means Jesus continues to make intercession that you will not fall. Because he knows in this flesh, the accuser of the brethren, you imagine they call him, not accuser of sinners. So Satan does not accuse sinners. He only accuses brethren. And you know who is a brother. Now, we can't go into that so that I can wrap up on the main reason. I hope the Lord is blessing us. Now, I don't just want you to be blessed, but to start putting into action. So, the reason why, when you are saved, that the Holy Spirit here is making intercession here on earth. You see, there are two intercessions going on. The Holy Spirit is presently here on earth. It's not in heaven. He's here on earth. He was sent to the earth and he's still here. Holy Spirit will leave the earth on after rapture. That's when he leaves. You know, Jesus has left bodily, but Jesus is here through the Spirit and the Father is here through the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is making intercession on earth while Jesus is making intercession in heaven. So the believer has two side intercession, earth and heaven. So that's why it's hard for a believer to be lost. The one that is lost is the one that walked out of Christ. Are you getting the balance? Somebody say, I can commit sin. It does not matter. You are a joker. The reason why the Holy Spirit is interceding for you is so that you can stand in the will of God. Whoever stands in the will of God does not commit sin. 1 John 3:6-9, 6-10. 1 John 3:6-10. I pray that Baba will help us. Because some people don't understand. They are interceding for you that you not go to sin. Because it's easy to commit sin. It's hard on the flesh to stay holy. But through intercession, holiness becomes easy. You see? Through the intercession of the Spirit. You see, because in Hebrews 7, he said, he's able to save them to the uttermost, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. You see? And he lives to where? Where is he? Where is he? He's in heaven with the Father. Oh, these people. He's interceding for Christians. So the world does not need intercession. So it's wrong to intercede for the world. Please listen. Are you with me? Please follow this now. You can't intercede for the world. You can pray for the world. In fact, Jesus did not pray for the world. But I will explain what I mean by pray for the world. Jesus said in John 17, he said, I pray for these ones. I do not pray for the world. Let me show you. Look at Jesus. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are dying. So the manifestation of John 17 prayer is a form of intercession. Because John 17 is a mixture of prayer and intercession. You could see Jesus praying and then interceding. You know that, that when I say praying now, you see the general name is prayer. Intercession is prayer. Request is prayer. You know, everything is prayer. So don't mind my words. But we are seeing mixture of request and intercession. Aha, in John 17. Hope you know in John 17, the Holy Spirit has not come. So he was doing the intercession. So intercession must take place on the earth for believers. So you don't intercede for the, look at Jesus, I pray for them, not for the world. So you don't pray for the world. Oh, I pray for peace in the world. There can't be peace. Please listen. Please listen. Oh, I pray that the Antichrist will not come. He will come. I pray that people's heart will be turned to the Lord. And I mean, not that, you know, I pray that the world will have peace, the world will experience peace, the world will never experience peace. You know why? The troubler of nations have not been finally removed. So when you don't understand the Bible, you will pray wrong prayers and you can waste hours. You see, don't glory in hours. I get it now. Glory in hours, I prayed. No, please. Now, when there is crisis in a place, do we intercede? We intercede for the believers there and we ask that whatever. Now, listen, when we, the only thing we do concerning the world and the spirit that rules people is we bind. Take note, it's not intercession. You bind spirits. For example, if there's crisis in an area, you don't intercede, you bind. That's prayer of authority. Prayer of faith and prayer of declaration. You see that? So when you are praying concerning the world, when you are praying concerning the world, do we just have three people here? Because I'm just seeing two people answering or so. But it's all right. You know, when you are praying concerning the world, you are dealing with the prince of this world who is in charge of souls. He said, if the gospel is it to them that are lost? Because the prince of this world. So when you are praying for his brother, who is not saved, you bind the spirit. That's what Jesus said, how can you enter a strong man's house without first binding? So you bind the spirit over souls so that they can have access to the gospel. You don't intercede. Are you following me? You don't intercede, you bind. Binding. We don't do binding again these days. People have left it to MFM and we want to just, and then listen, you don't bind through tongues. That's not binding. Please listen. This is very important. You see, if you don't understand speaking in tongues, we will just, everything will just be ragagagadadabala. No, please. Speaking in tongues is a powerful tool for the believer. It's a powerful tool for the Christian for communion. Now, you see, the time will fail me to separate communion and prayer. Communion is a type of prayer. In fact, communion leads to prayer. Now, communion was first in the Garden of Eden before prayer. The fall brought prayer. That's why Luke 18:1 says men ought to pray. It's men that ought to pray. The believer, the Christian, commune. Jesus said, I will come in and sup with him. We commune. That's why he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship there is communion. In fact, NIT put it, NLT also, NIV put it as the communion of the Holy Spirit. So it is communion that Jesus came to restore. Communion, in communion, it leads to prayer. Jesus commune with the Father. And in communion, you pray. Are you with me? But communion is not just about prayer. You see, many people are praying, but they've lost communion. Yes, they can pray for hours, but there's no communion. That's why you don't understand the beauty of communion. Communion is fellowship. And that is the fellowship of the Spirit. And take note of that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, they're talking about Trinity, you know, intercepting with you. You see, coming together with you. That will be for another day. You see, he who has communed well is he who can pray. And he who knows how to commune is the man that is ascending in authority and influence. That's the man that can intercede. Are you with me now? Sinners cannot intercede. Is a waste of time. A liar, if he comes to your prayer meeting and all of us are interceding. That's why when you come to pray, first of all, do heart search. Holy Spirit, is there anything within our hearts that has not come in boldly, receive mercy, cleansing by the blood, then begin to pray. Now, that's for a level anyway. So you don't pray for the world through tongues. You can't, this wrong. Let's say, for example, I want to pray for Cameroon, and I want to pray that they receive the gospel there. And it's a mantofeski apparatation. No, what I'm doing is that I'm speaking to the Lord, not for Cameroon. You see, we must understand this thing. I'm speaking to the Lord, not for Cameroon. I'm not speaking concerning Cameroon. I'm speaking to the Lord. As I speak to the Lord can now tell me about Cameroon while I pray in tongues. You see that now. You see, the mistake we make is that we think, oh, as I'm going to intercede now for Cameroon. No, you can't intercede for Cameroon like that. There are a lot of sinners in Cameroon. There are a lot of sinners in wherever you are praying for. You commune probably through tongues to the Lord to listen and hear what he wants to say concerning Cameroon. Did you understand? And you pray in tongues by faith. You say, by faith, I want to know what you have to tell me concerning Cameroon. What's the direction of prayer? So you see, it begins to bring to you. So if it's concerning the gospel not prospering in a place, bind. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So when you bind, you set the people at liberty. Then you release. I release gospelers. I ask that the gospel, I ask the encounter, as prayer of request. That's not even intercession. You see that? I ask that the gospel reign. For example, if you are praying concerning the Emeka of education now, you bind. You must do a lot of bind, and you bind with the word of God. You bind. It is written in scriptures. Because when the devil came to tempt Jesus, Jesus didn't speak in tongues. That was not the time Jesus Christ spoke mysteries to God. No. He spoke to him scriptures. And then, after man shall not live by bread alone, the last thing Jesus says, I get deep behind me, Satan. So that's the last thing. That's the language of that Lucifer understands, not tongues. The language of Lucifer is binding, resisting. That's the scripture for you. You bind the strong man, you resist the devil. And those things are, you resist through the words of authority, you resist through the word of God, you resist through the preaching of the gospel. You don't resist through tongues. You understand? You resist through the word of authority, the devil. You don't pray to the devil, you pray to God. You can't be praying concerning a situation that has to do with the devil and you are praying. You don't pray to the devil, you don't pray for the devil, you don't pray with the devil, you don't pray about the devil. Anything devil is doing, you don't pray for it, you don't pray about it. You speak to it, you declare to it. That's the lion's dimension of the Christian and Christ. You bind the devil. So if there's something you notice in your school, bind. Some cultists are trying to cause problem. Bind. It's working. We've been doing that now by God's grace. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, is powerful. So, and the instrument of use is the word and the name. The word and the name of Jesus. So you bind. But when it comes to intercession, the saints. Brother Tomiwa must stand firm. You see, there's a man called Epaphras. Is he Epaphras now? Let me confirm and then I'll close. That Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, is the practical example of an intercessor in the New Testament. Epaphras, who is one of you, you see, so he's one of you, he has influence to the throne, he has access by faith, he's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, he's been washed. He is servant of Christ. So being a servant of God, Christ means he's called by Christ. He has a place in the work of the kingdom. So he understands. He greets you. He's saluting you. Watch this now. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. That's intercession. And what is it? Look at the object of his intercession. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You see, intercession has focus. You don't just say, let me pray in tongues now for this thing. You pray in tongues to commune with the Father so that you can receive from the Father what you should pray about. Do you understand? Now, this is the other dimensions to speaking in tongues. That's the first dimension. The second dimension is that the Holy Spirit can so move your heart that you are praying in tongues. And as you pray in tongues, you will understand you will understand the interpretation of what you are praying. Sometimes it comes as pictures. Sometimes it comes back as thoughts. That is coming back as, this is what I'm praying about. You see, prayer is two-way, not one-way. God is not a monologuer. He wants a dialogue. So when we speak in tongues, he speaks back to us. Believe that. Don't speak in tongues again without expecting interpretation. Now, interpretation to the church is different from interpretation to you. When you are using the gift of tongues to edify the church, that's, you must ask for interpretation, and that becomes prophecy. But when you are praying in tongues alone, the interpretation comes back to you. Maybe in that time you are praying, it may be other times as you study. And the way interpretation comes back, it comes back in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We don't just speak in tongues to waste our time. So as you are praying concerning a Christian, you see that the Spirit of God is helping you to pray. There are sometimes, many of you will have experienced this, you are praying like this, you can't stop. You don't want to stop praying in tongues for that person. And you see, it's as if you are saying something meaningful, 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 different from the normal tongues you used to say. Are you with me now? So at that point, as you are praying, you must be attentive. You must be attentive. You can't be praying now. I want to pray for bro, if bro Fortunate, for example, and I just go, Andre, Barati, come on. Oh, Lord Jesus. No, no, no. As I'm praying, I must be hearing. God, what do you have to say concerning bro Fortunate? That's why I'm speaking in tongues. I'm communing. My spirit is ascending so that I can hear. So, but there is also the dimension of, as I'm praying, I can't stop. Then I'm dialoguing. As I'm dialoguing, I should listen. If it didn't come immediately, it will come later. It may be a word of instruction for him and all of that. So concerning Epaphras, he labored for the people to stand perfect and complete. Look at that prayer. There are a lot of templates of prayer, of intercession in the Bible. We must not be afraid to, you know, engage them. That we will intercede. For example, you can intercede for BSF, for the saints in BSF. You can intercede for JCCF. I don't know what they call the old Christian community in your school. You can intercede. That's intercession. You see false doctrine. You see wrong doctrine. You see lethargy. You see lukewarmness. You see Christians that are getting carnal, iniquity among the believers. Ah, that's intercession. Let the judgment of God come upon them. You understand? You can intercede concerning that. Now, that's not your utmost, but that is one of your key responsibility. Because you can't say you are a Christian and you leave other brethren. What kind of spirit do you have? You see a brother wallowing in sin, you ignore it. Brother, let's check your Christianity. Something is wrong with you. Maybe you too, you are a sinner. I pray the Lord grant you understanding. For example, when a president of a fellowship intercedes for his fellowship, is more powerful. It's more powerful than just when a worker. See, listen, when I say it's more powerful, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. God will respect any man pray, but God is weightier when a leader is praying. And I can prove it for you from scripture. Number one, Jesus is the high priest. Is not, the Bible didn't say Abraham is interceding for us in heaven that we may be saved to the uttermost, or Elijah. Jesus Christ is the high priest, and that's a leader. He's stronger than when a subject prays. Moses interceded for the people, was a leader. Esther interceded for the people, was a leader. Are you following this now? So intercession, when it comes from leaders, the influence they have. Eric Kio, you have to understand that in intercession, you can intercede. But it's good when leaders intercede. One, you can intercede based on, you know, you are connected to Adeyemi. So that's your territory. That's another thing that qualifies you for intercession. You can also intercede for on leaders who are not interceding, leaders who have lost their place. You see, that's the type of intercession. And God will still hear you. But you see, he's imagine when a president or a gensec or a prayer court or somebody that is a leader is praying for the people by spiritual influence. God will pay attention to him. When somebody who is a worker, he can intercede. Even if God communicates something to him in intercession, he can't go and do it. He can only go and report it to authority. But when authority hear from God, he can move fast on the people. Are you understanding? I hope the Holy Spirit is using these words. When you hear a news of what is happening in the Christian community in your campus, something, fire should burn your spirit. No, we must take this before God. That's intercession. And in intercession, some people don't know that until you have a note of victory, you don't stop. Now watch this. That doesn't mean you pray for 12 hours and don't go to lecture. You can be, some of you intercede and you don't understand that you have to be on intercession on a matter. It can take you 7 months. That's how long intercession could be for a believer. To stand perfect in the will of God, you are noticing compromise, you are noticing false doctrine, you are noticing something that is not correct. And see, intercession is territorial. So, in closing, why do we intercede? There is danger. If we don't stand in the gap, there's an enemy. A brother is saved, after 10 years he backslides. Somebody is teaching right doctrine, after 7 years he preaches wrong doctrine. False doctrine everywhere. Imbalance of scripture. People are speaking in tongues and committing sin. Speaking in tongues, battling with masturbation. It will shock you. No root in foundational things, but yet we have a show of spirituality. Shallow in the foundational matters of faith. You need to intercede for us. Intercede for the body of Christ. Intercede for the AM College of Education. Talk to God concerning the church there. Fellowships are full of activities, yet no bearing on the campus. So those fellowships must be interceded for. That's why we ask for revival. Wake us up, Lord. We ask our spirit be stayed. That's intercession. We will not sleep the sleep of death. That's intercession. You are asking that this should not be. Steer this thing up. That's the believer. You don't intercede for sinners. You understand? Any sinner you know, give him the gospel. Bind the spirit. Many of you preach without binding. Go and bind. If time you are going now, bind the spirit and loose. Hearing heart, I lose the spirit of grace. I lose preachers of the gospel. People will let the gospel be made available. I kill every negative spirit in the atmosphere. Atmospheres are polluted. You see, to preach the gospel that will affect people, you need the right environment. Satan put them in another environment. That's why the gospel does not penetrate. That's the barricade he puts. That's for another day. So you intercede for the believer. And listen, when you don't intercede, you are stylishly cooperating with the devil. So, is important. All the people that we saw as examples in the Bible, look at it. Abraham interceded for Lot, not for Sodom and Gomorrah. Understand it. If you find 10 righteous people, those are the people I'm interceding for. God said, will you destroy both the righteous and the sinners together? Abraham said, did not tell God to spare the city. He said, is the righteous, and because I understand the law of intercession. Is the right people. Will you not kill everybody together? God said, if I find them, for their sake, I won't destroy the whole city. So the Lord got to that city and could not find them. But Lot was saved. So you see, Lot was interceded for, not Sodom. Sodom must be destroyed, but Lot must not join. So we can intercede for Christians in the north in this challenge. You can't intercede for Boko Haram members. No, you can only bind. You see, when you now intercede, you can't intercede for Nigeria. No. Please get it clear. You cannot intercede for Nigeria. You have to bind, and we don't stop binding. We bind and then we release. The problem people also do is that we bind, then we don't release. You bind and you lose. When you bind the spirit, you now lose. The spirit of understanding, you lose ministers of the gospel, you give access to the preaching of the gospel, you ask that leaders be sent to the government. You see, you are losing things. You lose. But you intercede for the believers in Nigeria. Did you see that? Now, you can intercede for believers in Nigeria because you are a Nigerian by territory. But you see, when it comes to interceding for believers in Nigeria, you will not pray with information. An intercessor must be well informed. Abraham was well informed what he was praying concerning. Esther was informed. He knows why he was going to the king. They want to kill the Jews. It's not just, I want to intercede for all believers. No. Okay. Esther was well informed on what he was interceding for. So understand that. The prayer of Elijah, that is most of the faithful fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. That's what many people use for intercession. That's not intercession. He prayed earnestly that the rain should not fall. He wasn't interceding for anybody. He was making, that's simply prayer of request, that rain should fall and rain should not fall. It has nothing to do with intercession. Let's understand that. Prayer of faith that shall save the sick and the faithful fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that context is not intercession. The context of Elijah's prayer that we usually say He's not interceding for people. He was talking about the rain should fall. Go and check again. This rain will fall. And then he gave the word to Ahab because of the things the Lord wants to do. So let's understand what intercession is. Few people prayed in the Old Testament, the prayer of intercession. Prophets could do that. Judges and kings could do that. You can find out. David could do that. Solomon did that. You see. You see, leaders are the ones that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he made all of us kings and priests. You see, that's why all of us are leaders in his sight. But you see, I hope you get the balance. All of us are leaders. You see, that's what qualifies you to pray for another Christian who is a leader. But you see, God wants that leader. Be that an example of the believers. God wants that leader to be an intercessor. It's weightier. You understand? One of the things you must intercede for is to intercede for leaders to become intercessors. And in your group, get leaders involved. You will have done well. Mobilize leaders to join you. The work will be faster. But another thing that qualifies you, the blood, who had made you a priest, who had made me a priest. Where are you located? Where now, watch this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why is it that Jesus cannot be interceding directly in heaven and then that's it? No, when he moved to heaven, he's doing another job, territorial. Holy Spirit is the one on earth. That's another territory. Intercession is territorial. You see, they have to cover the two territories. Jesus went to heaven to stay in that territory. Holy Spirit is here on earth to maintain the intercession of this territory for the believer. Jesus Christ is not just interceding in heaven and say, okay, well, let's just say, let's be in heaven. Everything will be all right. Mm-mm. They put somebody here too, on earth, to do the one on earth. As he is interceding so that we might stand in the will of God, Jesus is interceding that we may be saved to the uttermost. You see, they are both facing different focus. Holy Spirit has a different focus, which is according to the will of God. And the will of God, the Lord's Prayer, that will be done on earth. On earth. As it is in heaven. The will of God is not done in heaven. It's already in heaven. God's will needs not to be done. Jesus Christ didn't go to heaven to do his will. His will is already done. But it's not done on earth. So Holy Spirit will have to ensure that it is done. That's why he's interceding for us and with us. But in heaven, there's no will of God to be done. There is only that all the people that are on earth doing the will of God must arrive home safe. You see the focus of intercession of Jesus and the focus of intercession of the Holy Spirit. So intercession is territorial. It's territorial. Now, you can't just intercede for the world. There are things that makes you very influential. For example, it's beautiful when leaders are intercessors. I'm telling you. I can't teach you this thing too. Because intercession connotes you are in government. One of the ways to mark that you are in government is to intercede. And he who is in government can legislate. So you are praying for the believers and asking the Lord concerning areas that are weak and are lacking. When you now notice somebody has been struck with sickness, and is a believer, we can intercede. Especially when you know that it's 15 minutes to die. I remember the intercession we did for one of our sisters on campus. Because she's a believer, we interceded. She came back to life. She died, and then she came back to life. She rose from the dead. Several believers on campus, some of us who are friends, we prayed. She actually died. She would cross to the other side. She told us when she woke up from the dead. Today she's married. You understand? So if intercession didn't bring her back, she will have gone to be with the Lord. So we can lose a Christian because we didn't intercede. We can lose missionaries because we didn't intercede. Because there are real challenges that can face a missionary. Intercession is a cooperation of the body to stand together in battle for one of us. Listen, when you are facing a matter that looks as if when you are praying, the thing is not solving, turn to intercession. The prayer of two or three agreeing with intercession will weed off that thing. That is, three people coming together in government, spiritual government, to stand together and say, brother, we lose you from that thing. It will work. If two of you shall agree as touching a thing, it shall be done. There is the ask and it shall be given unto you. That's you. If two of you shall agree, that's government. Two people on earth legislating on behalf of God on the earth in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. I have often found prayer of agreement so powerful. The Lord will help us. Let's pray. A dear King, I don't know if the little we have shared tonight will help my brethren, but I pray it does, that we will begin to take responsibility. If we don't pray, if we don't intercede for the saints, ha, Baba, it's as if we are giving the devil free day to confuse some of our brethren, to afflict some of our missionaries, to cause some things to happen in regions where Christians are. Lord, why should we sleep the sleep of death? Will you please tear us up? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, including me, tear us up to our duty so that we can rule with the King of Kings, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you, brethren.